Hey guys, it's Scott. Welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. We are happy to be back, and I want to tell you about a couple of the sponsors that we have on this show. One of them happens to be Manskirt Brewing, one of our longest sponsors. They are located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. It's just a great place to go grab a delicious craft beer. So go check them out in the old bank building. Go play some board games there. Check out their seasonally inspired ales. It's just a great place to hang. They got a big Baltic porter called Fully Regimental on tap right now, and their Nitro Irish Stout. So get on over to Manskirt Brewery and give Joe Fisher some love in his manskirt. Now, we happen to have two brewery sponsors. One of them happens to be Demented Brewing. Demented Brewing is located in Middlesex, New Jersey. Demented is just another place that is a really fun place to go grab a pint. There's 16 different tap handles, barrel programs, sour programs, something different in the tun every Tuesday, new beer every Sunday. They just released Kiss of Betrayal. It's a light body, aggressively hopped kettle sour brewed with loads of passion fruit juice and pulp, healthy amounts of Amarillo, Simcoe, Mosaic, Citra, and Centennial hops, which definitely complement the whole beer, and it is delicious. So go check out Demented Brewing, located in Middlesex, New Jersey. Now, Wolf Nation, WULF, that stands for Wake Up, Live Free Apparel. This is the world's hottest and next hottest and biggest designer brand. No matter what your goals in life are, as long as you are pursuing it, Wolf Nation's the brand for you. Follow them on Instagram. They're taking pre-orders now, or you can email them at wolf@wolfnation.com. Make sure to follow them on Twitter. They also have a new website at wolfnation.rocks. They're introducing spring wolf wear for both men and women, accessories, hats, bags, mugs. They're really making it happen now. It's good to see the company is ready to take off. So go check out Wolf Nation, WULF, Wake Up, Live Free. Susan Rahm is one of our sponsors out of Toronto, Canada. Susan works with senior executives in leadership development, also runs a business as a speaker agent. She's gotten us a bunch of guests on the show. So her and her pal Kim Ward from Wisconsin, they started a Nepal outreach program. Now, they are tirelessly advocating and raising money to inspire and empower a group of women and kids in Nepal. So far, their efforts have raised money to put all 14 kids in school for the very first time this year and have helped a group of ladies start a sewing business making quilts. 13 of those quilts have been made, shipped, and sold in 4 countries, and all proceeds go right back to the Nepal Outreach Program in search of the next phase of sustainability. So go check out their GoFundMe/Vimla, V-I-M-L-A, and also go check out Susan on Twitter. Now, finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. We are a trivia company located all over the state of New Jersey in beer bars and breweries. Come on out and play trivia. You can be in last place and win a prize. There's a bonus item each week on Facebook and Instagram. So check out Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Now, today on the podcast, we have a very interesting guest. His name is Michael Glenn. Now, he is the first ever paraplegic hot air balloon pilot. That is correct. The first ever paraplegic hot air balloon pilot. Very interesting guy, inspirational speaker, crazy story on how it all happened. So with that, guys, enjoy the podcast.
Hi, this is Michael Glenn, the world's first paraplegic balloon pilot. Thank you for listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Everybody, it's Scott Brennan here, and welcome to another episode of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Thank you for joining us on the BS Podcast Network, and we're coming off a killer episode with Max Parents. But before we get started, let's go down to Georgia, checking in live on the Verbal Shenanigans hotline. You may know him from such podcasts as Bo Duke in the House and a couple other 100 episodes. Mike Berlow, welcome back to the program.
It's so great to be back here, Scotty. It's so wonderful to join you again on a lovely Monday evening here in Georgia.
Michael, the Georgia Peach himself. How's it going down there, buddy? How's it going in hot and the dirty?
Well, it's not too hot so far. I mean, from what I understand, there's a slight chance of like some hailstorm coming down here. But
oh, that means everyone in Georgia is freaking out, probably.
Yeah. I mean, apparently during the springtime, it's like crazy wind with their rain, and sometimes hail comes down with it. So I don't think my area is getting it, but some people are panicking around here. So,
have you seen any zombies yet?
I have not. I've not gone over to Sonoya. That's where they taped The Walking Dead before, but I'm sure I will take some time to go over there and sometime upcoming weekend, you know.
Have you seen any racists yet?
I can't confirm any, but if you said, all right, you got to put money down, did you meet one? I'd probably put some money down and say, yeah, there's probably one or two out there I got.
And you were like, Dad, stop that.
No. Yeah, it got weird when it got down here.
So you're adjusting to life in the city of wherever the hell you are, but in the state of Georgia, everything's good.
Yeah,
are you enjoying it so far?
I'm enjoying it so far. It's quiet. The parents are back in Florida, so I have the place to myself.
Oh yeah, keg party.
Yeah. But sadly, I have to hold on to funds as my clutch went on my car midway through the week. So I have to hold on to funding to before.
Ah, so no kegger. You got to charge $5 at the door.
I'm getting an echo now all of a sudden.
Oh, I said you got to charge $5 at the door for your kegger and make that money up.
Oh, it's like every 80s movie.
Exactly.
You know, they wrecked the parents' car. I know what we can do.
Right. You got to fundraise real quick, and then you'll raise the funds, and then usually right before the parents are coming back, something tragic will happen where you lose all those funds, and you got to come up with some really quick way. Because you'll be real happy, and then the bully or something will beat you up in an alley, take the money, and you're left with nothing.
Or the great plot twist where it's like, what do you mean you're coming home early?
Yeah.
But the party's Saturday night. And then there's a montage of a bunch of us cleaning up the house.
Yeah. You gotta come up with like, clean up quick schemes, like hire people from around the neighborhood and things like that. But
the parents walk in and it's like every time they open the door, the people are hiding on the other side and all trying to make sure he doesn't see them, you know. That's all well thought out. No, we got to call Miramax, see if we can get a deal going.
Now, what have you been doing to occupy your free time? You know, because you're alone at the moment, you know, yeah.
Well, like Monday through Friday, it ain't much, you know, because it's 9 hours at work and it's hour and a half to, hour and a half from. So pretty much my nights are just coming home, watching a little TV, BSing with a girl, and then heading to hay. But over the weekend, hung out with the brother a little bit. We tried out a few things. I tried Georgia pizza. It's comparable. That's the best way. It's different, but it's good.
Just stop it. You're not selling anyone on your Mike Berlew's Georgia pizza chain that you...
Oh, man.
Come on
down.
That's
how I was going to raise the money for the car, man.
Come on down to Mike's Pizza Shop. Authentic Jersey pizza.
Dude, you just put peaches on top of ketchup. That's not Georgia pizza.
Authentic Georgia pizza. No one here, even the Georgians listening to this episode are like, all right, this guy's has no idea what he's talking about.
This guy has no taste whatsoever in pizza. He's giving us a thumbs up.
You just came from New York, New Jersey area, and even down the Philly, I could accept some. You're telling me Georgia pizza. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, it's the New York style brand called Johnny's New York style pizza. So I can live with it. I mean, I guess that's the best answer. Am I going to sit back and say, oh, it's going to take over? No. But
is it on par?
I feel like a pie. I don't have to go to Domino's.
I was just saying, is it like a Domino's Pizza Hut, or it's above that?
No, it's definitely an attempt at New York style. I mean, you can see some subtle differences. It might be a little doughier than New York style, and sometimes the crust is crunchier than soft, but I mean, the sauce is decent, the toppings are good. So
now, have you come across any, let's say, maybe thoughts or stereotypes you had of Georgia that are not even true? And vice versa, have you come across like things we think about Georgia that are absolutely true?
Absolutely true. Man, I saw a lot of religious stuff coming down here. Just 10-story high crosses and
I saw a few of them when we drove from New Orleans to Florida. In like Bama, we saw a couple monster Jesuses.
Yeah, they like their Jeebus up in here. I mean, it's very multicultural.
Really?
I mean, we're off of a major city. I mean, I had Indian for lunch Wednesday. I mean, I can find pretty much anything I want down here. So, I mean, there's very limited things where I say that now I can't get. Apparently, I can't find White Castle down here. They don't have those.
Shucks. What about, more importantly, beer? What kind of, any good local beer you found?
I've been to one brewery in Georgia. I mean, it was good. I mean, it's nothing where I'm going to sit back and go, oh my God, this is the most earth-shattering thing, but very comparable, very good. I'm going to be trying out a couple other ones there. I came across a few local crafts here I'm very happy with. I think Jekyll Brewery was one that I enjoyed. They had a pineapple habanero IPA that I enjoyed.
All right. So life is adjusting. Life is adjusting and everything's okay.
Yeah, I can live.
Yeah. Do you?
I know, shucks.
Are you are you missing Jersey?
A little. I mean, like I said, I mean, right now with my hours and everything, I'm pretty much spending most of the time by myself right now. So I miss things. I mean, I talk to the girl every night. She'll be down here in a week and a half. For what I understand, you guys are getting 3 to 5 inches on Wednesday and then some ice rain after that. So that kind of stuff.
I work with 3 to 5 inches every day, pal.
I see what you did there. I guess I should do. I'm betting it's less than 3. I got you, Scotty.
He's still got it.
That's short and wet.
He still got it. All right, so that's good. Now, how have things been with you and the girlfriend? This is a little adjustment period here. How are things?
Things are well there. I mean, she's going through a lot of stuff in the apartment right now, so she's a little bit trying to adjust to spending the free time cleaning out the apartment, but she's looking forward to coming down here. She's a little sad to leave her job and the patient that she takes care of, but she's totally stoked. She's kind of bummed. She looked at the weather report and we got rain down there, and she's like, oh, I want to see the sun. I'm like, we're not Florida. I mean, we're just like everywhere else. It rains in the spring.
Well, that's good, buddy. I'm glad you're adjusting. I still wish you were in Jersey, but, you know, I can't have everything.
But I have a more important question. How is your dog adjusting to 2 weeks without me?
He's completely forgot about you at this point. You know, it's over. The relationship is done. He's moved on. No, I don't know. Today he wasn't making weird growling noises around 7 o'clock. So I don't know. So like I said, in dog years, I mean dog days, you've been gone for like
14 times 7. That's 98. That's like almost 4 months.
Yeah, yeah. So you're dead to him, wow. Basically. So
yeah,
you know, when you do come back and visit, it's going to be earth shattering. It's going to be like Jesus came back for him. You know, like on Easter Sunday, Jesus arrived at the door. So that's what it's going to feel like for him.
I like being compared to Jesus a lot. You know, it fits me.
Yeah, I just hope you have the same end. Anyway, so before we get to our guest, I wanted to talk about. So I had a really, really busy weekend of comedy. Three completely different experiences. Now, Friday night I did a show down in Grounds for Sculpture in South Jersey. All the way almost near Philadelphia, kind of, by 295. And now the place is crazy. Like, it's the restaurant is crazy. It's called Rats. And I was thinking, like, oh, it's going to be like a low-key coffee shop. No, it's actually like a real fancy, like, playhouse-looking thing. And the room looked like it was like something out of Game of Thrones. And wow. It was really cool. And, like, on the way in, there's all these sculptures on the side of the road that like look like people. So I'm sitting there like, wow, like trying to figure out who actual people were and who the sculptures were. But it was an awesome show. Like, it was like one of those. I ended up doing like probably close to 20 minutes, and like it felt like it was like 5 minutes. So it was like, it was very cool. Very cool show. And it was Bobby Gaines, and it was just a fun show. And then Saturday came. Now, Saturday.
Well, tell everybody how you got arrested because you told the cop, I thought she was a sculpture.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Me too, sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
But, so McDonald and Carney, we know them, but the audience, they are they're like an improv duo, if you will. And they were running a bus trip down to Atlantic City. And I was going to go anyway. Me and Alex were going to go. It was like a St. Paddy's Day thing. And so like a week before, he asked me, hey, if you're coming down, you want to do some time? I said, of course. And it was loaded with a bunch of like fun, like friend comics. Like KP Burke and Natty Bumpercar, Jackie Byrne, Kevin Garifo, all my like actual friends in comedy. But I knew we were in for a booze fest, right?
On St. Patrick's Day, you say?
On St. Patrick's Day with all
on a
Irish
bus ride to Atlantic City.
Yeah, yeah. Basically all Irish people. And so you know how it goes. Like, we get on the bus at 1. A couple people had already been drinking. No, we get on the bus at 2. A couple people had already been drinking for a while. And immediately, bus pulls out, you know, and first beer gets cracked, you know, like I brought some nice beers and I was like, oh, you know, I'll have some nice stuff. And then immediately someone's passing around a cooler full of every kind of Jello shot you can imagine. Cinnamon Toast Crunch shots and watermelon vodka and Fireball and bacon shots and like all these.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Just handfuls of them. I'm like, eventually I go back to the bus and I'm talking to KP Burke and he's like taking handfuls of like Jello shots, like taking like 5 at a time. I'm like, you all right, buddy? He's like, woo, woo. Like, he, you know, he was raring to go from 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it didn't help that our bus driver, as Natty Bumpercar said, he drove like Salmon Swim. Like, left and then right. Left and, like, he was swerving all over the place. So peeing on the bus was hard. I think it just added to people getting drunk because, like, everyone was trying to forget about what was going on.
Are you sure you just didn't drink too much and he was parked?
If this was the end of the story, maybe. So we all get down there, and the drinks are flowing, and, you know, definitely got a little bit of a buzz. I don't like to perform. Like, I like to have a beer before I perform. It takes the edge off. Mm-hmm. But I don't like to have 11 beers before I perform. But we're down there, and, you know, I tried to gamble for a little while, and I played roulette for maybe 13 minutes, lost like maybe $50, and I was like, well, that's the end of gambling for today. I didn't hit anything, and I kind of don't love casinos that much anymore. Like, when I was a kid, I thought they were kind of fun.
Well, out of curiosity, what is the Atlantic City scene? Because I haven't been there in God knows when, and I haven't heard one person go, oh my God, I'm going to Atlantic City, other than fellow comedians.
Well, I know that, like, the Borgata is still really nice and, like, popular, and, like, Harrah's, I know, is very popular. We were in, we got there into Resorts Casino, and then we had to walk over to the Showboat. Now, the Showboat's not even a casino anymore. It's a hotel, but it has the remnants of the casino. So it's kind of like
that's extra depressing.
Yeah, it was kind of depressing. Like, it was kind of like all this space with nothing in it. Like, you know, like, and of course you have like the typical AC people, like, you know, hooked up to oxygen tanks, just pulling their, you know, the slot machine all day long. So then it was time to get ready for Showtime. Now, Showtime was in at 6 o'clock, so it wasn't that late, which was good, because if it was like 8, 9 o'clock, it would have been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So we all get ready. You know, Jackie Burns hosting. She says to me before I go on, she's like, I never drink before shows. I can't feel my face right now. And I'm like, well, fire away. And she goes up, you know, kills. Okay. I go up, have a great set. Or, you know, felt like a good set. I listened to it back, had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's doing a good job. Natty Bumpergar goes up and just destroys. I was sitting in the back by a table. I don't really know what he was saying, but every once in a while I would just see him, like, he was off the stage. It was a wireless, so he was, like, running one way and then running another, and he was just doing all in the moment stream of thought thing, and all it was like an eruption coming from a room. So, Natty, if you're listening to this, which I know you're not, killer set, man. So the show goes great. The show, everyone's having a good time. Everyone's having, you know, I think everyone did well. And we're sitting, and of course, as we're sitting through the show, the drinks are flowing, the drinks are, you know. So then, like, we have 2 hours after the show to hang out before the bus comes back, and we're just hanging out in the Showboat bar. And this is kind of, it's just us, like, waiting there. And then there was another promoter down there that was coming that I know that was doing a show. And he's like, hey, it was in the same room. He's like, you want to jump on and do a spot again? Now, at this point, I shouldn't have been on the stage at all. Okay. It was, I was done. Okay. There's no reason I should be saying anything. But I'm like, sure. You know, I don't.
You agree to anything. And well, you want me to cook for the buffet? Yeah.
You want me to do an hour? I'll do an hour. No problem. I'll do an hour. Yeah. And I go up, and the set's fine, but I, like, you know, like, I remember, like, bits and pieces of it were a little fuzzy. And the next day, Jackie Burns texted me. She's like, I can't stop laughing because you kept calling the guy in the audience. I kept calling him a green-haired faggot, apparently, during my set. He had, like, a wig on. And I'm like, stop. Uh-huh. And I'm like, she's like, I can't stop laughing thinking about you keep calling him that. And sure enough, I called him it, like, three times in the show. And, like, it was, like, eruptions of laughter every time. He was a good sport. I do remember that. But why I was saying that, I have no idea. And then,
weird thing, it was his girlfriend.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest bus ride back ever.
And then bus ride back home. Nobody's in. Well, actually, a little story before that. There's these two girls at the bar, and KP Burke was, like, you know, checking them out a little bit, and he's a single guy, and he's like, no, no, no. And, you know, drunk me, I'm like, oh, I'll hook you up with that. And then, like, I walk up.
That's exactly how he said it, too.
Oh, that's probably definitely how I sounded. And I go up to him. I'm like, hey, you know, like, my friend KP here, he's embarrassed to talk to you, but, you know, he thinks you guys are really cute. So I'm like, KP, and I, like, wave him over, and he's like, God damn it, you know. And then, like, it was just all these disastrous things that I would never do, you know, sober. And, you know, like, we go on the bus ride home, and I fell asleep. So did Alex. Apparently, we, like, fell asleep with our heads, like together. And, you know, I had green beads on the whole night, and I ended up calling an Uber home, but got driven home by Jackie, so I had to, and her husband, and got you know, ended up paying for the Uber anyway, which kind of stinks. But I woke up the next morning, and I'm at my mom's house, and I'm like, Alex is looking at me. She's like, oh, yeah. She's like, what's on your neck? And I had green dye all over my neck from the beads, but it was like my neck was dyed green. So,
it was like you got a hickey from the Hulk.
Yes, yes. But I was like, you know, you had a good St. Patrick's Day when you wake up and your neck's green and you got to do two comedy shows with your. In one night with your buddies, and it was just an overall really fun experience. But, like, you know, it just dangerous. Just dangerous. Bus trip with all those guys, just dangerous.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like they're the group that goes, we brought Uno cards.
No. Like Rich McDonald, he's a cop on the side, had to march in the parade the next day at like 9 in the morning. And then, like, KP Burke started drinking again the next morning. So so it was an overall good experience. And then I had to do Tierney's the next night. And I was just in no mood to do that because those shows can be like 3 hours long. But it turned out all right. But it was a good weekend of comedy. Just a good weekend in general. Not something I do too often. Like, I don't go to AC too often. Don't really go to bars too often. So it was kind of like, you know, it was fun.
There you go.
All right, Berlew. I think it's guest time. I think it's safe to say it's guest time.
True. I agree with that statement.
Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that?
You know, I really prefer like another 12 minutes to get into my Berlew interview zone. But
you're becoming quite a prima donna in Georgia. Like, things are changing. You
know, I mean, I've passed a word with who I've interviewed, and, you know, I'm like a king down here in Georgia. You know, they throw peaches at me. They celebrate me wherever I go. So
they lay peaches upon your feet as you stride through town.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And when somebody gives me like a runt peach, then we stone her, you know.
That
just so they know, you know, I'm a lovable king, but, you know, I'm pretty fierce.
It's amazing that you became the king of Georgia in just a few weeks, like not even 2 weeks.
It really wasn't that hard, too. That was the weirdest part. You know, I just went into a Crystals one day and boom, it happened.
That's it. That's all it takes to become the king of Georgia.
Exactly.
Very, very Betsy DeVos of you, just like doing a job that you have no qualifications to do.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'll figure it out eventually. I mean, there could be a bunch of genocide, but, you know, that's the price you pay when you most elect somebody like me.
Most things surrounding you involve a bunch of genocide. It's
yeah, well, it eventually calms down. I mean, come on now.
But, Berlew, who we got? Who we got today?
Today we're going to be talking with Michael Glenn. He's a motivational speaker. He's an ambassador with the Christopher Reeve Foundation, and he is the world's first paraplegic hot air balloon pilot.
That's awesome. You ever been in a hot air balloon?
I have not. I got a little thing with heights, so it's one of those I kind of want to do it, but at the same side, it's like you're in a basket very far in the air, so it's kind of, I got to amp myself up for that.
Yeah. I did a video piece in a hot air balloon a long, long time ago when I worked for the TV station. And let me tell you, it was a little freaky because the basket was not that high. And, like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty tall dude. So, like, the basket felt like it was, like, below hip level almost. So And yeah. I was like holding a camera, and so it was kind of a little freaky. It's pretty cool at the same time, though, but it was definitely an experience to remember. I have video footage of that somewhere. But Ryan Hamilton, the comedian, he does an awesome bit on. He's like, talks about hot air balloon. He's like, we were going to strap a rocket launcher to a wicker basket. He's like, you ever sit on wicker? You know, like. But all right, so let's give Michael Glenn a call here.
This is Michael.
Hey, Michael, it's Scott and Mike from the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. How are you?
Good, and yourself?
We are great. Mike, can you hear Mike?
Yeah, I can hear him fine.
All right. So, Mike, welcome to the show. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. Where are we calling you at?
I live in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona. I imagine there's good space to hot air balloon in Phoenix.
Yeah, for the most part, I mean, Phoenix is great weather. We fly here, you know, almost year round. The summer months get a little warm, but that's normally when I'm lucky enough to go travel all over the United States / world to go fly hot air balloons.
Now, my experience, I went to Phoenix last year, and, you know, we're from Jersey, and my body was definitely not conditioned to be in Phoenix. Like, we went out, like, walked around all day and had a couple beers at night. The next morning, I woke up so dehydrated. It took me, like, a day and a half to feel normal again.
Yeah, it's definitely dry out here. It'll get you quick. But then my experience in New Jersey is the complete opposite. I go there and I sweat like a pig. There's a Bloom Festival there in June in Solberg that July that I go to. Mm-hmm. I've gone to a couple years, and it's hot, humid, and sticky. So
yep, it is.
I prefer the dry.
Nobody can win in this situation. Well, I'm in Georgia, so but we're pretty kind of known for that humidity too down here. So
yep.
Yeah. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, for what I read up, you've been in hot air ballooning all your life. For what I read, your first ride was 2 weeks old.
Yeah, my dad started flying balloons before I was ever born. He just, as a kid in the Bay Area, he saw blimps and stuff like that flying around and had a real interest in aviation and moved out to New Mexico. And New Mexico's kind of the ballooning capital of the world. And he volunteered to go chase some balloons back in 1973. And it got him involved in ballooning. And I was born in 75. And back then, you know, kids didn't wear seatbelts and all those other things. And my parents threw me in the basket, and my mom held on to me, and we went for a short balloon ride across the field. So been around balloons my whole life. I fly balloons. My brother flies balloons, and my dad still flies balloons. And it wasn't until I turned 21 that I really got interested in the balloon, getting my pilot license. It was kind of something we just always did as a family activity, but it wasn't until I was actually involved in a single car rollover at the age 21 that left me paralyzed that I kind of decided one of the goals I really wanted to set for myself was to become a balloon pilot. And I achieved that in 2006, making me the first guy in the world to fly balloons in a wheelchair.
Now, there's a lot to that, obviously. You know, a lot of layers to just a little bit of the story you told us, but let's start, you know, prior to your accident, were you, you said you grew up with balloons, but were you, as deep into it as you are today, or did that become, you know, did you get more into it after the accident?
I definitely got more into it after the accident. It was always just kind of a family activity growing up that we did. I was more of a crew person, and it's just something we did on weekends and stuff like that. Now I travel quite a bit more. I've definitely a lot more involved in it now. One, my name's got a little more behind it publicity wise two, I becoming the first, I decided I really wanted to try to do something good with it, and I share my story as much as possible, and I speak to school kids, one about seatbelt safety and the other about achieving your dreams. Because when I first applied for my license, the FAA actually denied me because of my disability and said there was no way that I should be able to fly a balloon, and I had to go out to them and prove that I could. So I talked to kids about, you know, reaching your goals, and just because somebody tells you no doesn't mean you have to listen. Of course, rules, laws, and all those things are a different story, but in general, too many of us adults put limits on what we believe children could do, and I'm one to push them and say, no matter what you believe, you have to do everything you can to make it possible if you really want to make
it. Well, let's talk about when you're trying to prepare for the test and prove everything to the FAA. Is there a lot of adjustments that have to be put in, or special equipment into either the equipment to fly the balloon, or where you rest in the basket, that had to be made in order for you to attempt this?
Yeah, the biggest difference for me is my basket's a bit different. My basket, most people see a balloon basket and they see a wicker basket, kind of like a laundry basket, but a lot bigger. That's a square triangle that you stand inside of. Mine actually looks like a ski lift. It's a bench that I sit on. That's the biggest change for me, was being able to physically do it because I have to sit down, being paralyzed without the use of my legs. So luckily there's a manufacturer, Cameron Balloons, that built this basket that was a two-seated basket. So I'm able to take one person with me, but it's not as popular because most people like to be able to take a couple or a couple friends. It's, you know, the Pilot Plus One's a little more, little less of an experience. You can't, you know, ride with your girlfriend or boyfriend whenever I give them a ride or anything else. It's just me plus one.
Now, let me ask you, what's the most common misconception of hot air ballooning? I was just telling Mike right before we got you on, and I went on one for shooting a video piece a long time ago. And I was kind of amazed at the fact that there's not, like, really actual steering, and you're kind of just, yeah, you know, you're going all by wind. What do people assume when they go up there?
The biggest misconception is that everything ends in an accident, where, you know, that it's a dangerous activity and everything else. Just because, unfortunately, the media does play into that. I mean, it's just the news in general that anytime you see a balloon, it tends to be in a negative fashion for the most part on the news or anything else. There's, you know, thousands of hours of people flying balloons, and it is one of the most safe forms of aviation. But you're right, there is no control. There is, all we have control of is our vertical and altitude, climbing and descending to different altitudes to use the winds to steer us. But that's a lot of the reasons why we fly over open areas. We don't tend to fly over congested areas. Those of us with more experience do fly over city for advertising and stuff like that. And it's amazing how much control I can actually have. More times than not, I can pick out almost exactly where I'm going to land miles away. But that's been honed in with the experience of flying so much over the years.
Now, how fast can these hot air balloons go?
We go at the speed of the wind. The reason you tend to see balloons first thing in the morning or late in the afternoon is because that is when the winds are the most stable. For the most part, we try to, my example always, because I'll go to festivals and people get disappointed because we can't fly. And I said, well, you see how fast that, you know, we'll let off like a, what we call a pie ball, which is a little toy balloon, just to get the wind readings up high. And I said, you see how fast that's moving now. Imagine we have to land, and we have to hit the ground, which is a solid object. So run into something like the side of my truck, my trailer, at that speed and decide if you really want to fly. So we try to keep things calm as possible. But with that said, I've had landings, you know, about 15, 20 miles per hour. You just look for really wide open spaces in those circumstances. But most of my landings are no worse than stepping off a curb. Mm.
Now let's talk about after your accident. What kind of, I'm sure it's obviously traumatic for anybody going through, but what kind of mental state were you in initially after that? Did you, you know, was it quick that you started putting this idea of ballooning again together, or what, did it take quite a while?
It was an idea I jumped on right away. I mean, I remember actually being in a hospital. There were a couple goals I set for myself. One was to walk again. Two was to get my license. And I kind of, over studying and reading more about it, I decided I wasn't going to live my life towards a cure, which I don't have anything against people that do that. I just decided I want to live my life to the fullest ability that I have at the current time. If a cure comes, I'll be the first one in line raising my hand saying, yes, let's test me, do whatever we can to make it happen. But my pilot license, I actually applied about a year after my accident back in 1996. That for my license. But you're right. I mentally, physically, and emotionally, I wasn't ready to go through that process. Luckily, that's where it was almost a blessing that the FAA said I couldn't do it, because I didn't financially, one, have the money to buy a balloon. Two, I wasn't even used to being in a wheelchair at this point in time. I went from being a college athlete to all of a sudden being confined to a wheelchair. It was a life-changing experience for me, but luckily I had really good family, friends, and everybody, a support around me to push me to keep going.
What did it take for you to finally convince the FAA to give you a chance on a test and being able to get your license?
Sure. So ballooning is a federally registered aircraft, just like flying an airplane or anything else. So the FAA is involved on that circumstance. What happened really when I first applied for my license is just like any government agency. The very first time you ask them to do anything, their answers come pretty much comes back and is a no. So what I got was a support of actually FAA people that are balloonists, and then I got balloon manufacturers, other balloonists to get involved in the situation and say, no, you can really do this. And then me and my flight instructor at the time went out and doubled and tripled everything that was required to fly a hot air balloon. It's a minimum of 10 hours to get your private pilot license, which is a stepping stone into this process. It's a minimum of 10 hours flight time, plus you have to pass a written test and then a flight exam with an FAA examiner to make sure that you're safe enough to fly hot air balloons.
What was that first solo flight like after you got your license?
That was actually one of the most freeing experiences that I've had. Part of the reason I named my balloon Elevation was the idea it's elevating me out of my wheelchair out there. But it put me onto a field. Flying in a balloon, you know, you almost forget about the wheelchair. You forget about all those other things, and you're enjoying the peace and everything up in the sky. But the first time I got a solo was emotional and exciting, just because I knew I was definitely on my way to that process of becoming a pilot.
Now, I know you do a lot of motivational speaking, like you were saying, uh-huh. and talking to children and whatnot. How did this start? Did this start a couple years after you realized you could fly? Did people see you? Did people say, hey, can you come talk to you? Or was this a conscious effort of you to get into schools and get into helping people?
Actually, one of my best friends from growing up ran a disabled program at a college in Roswell, New Mexico, where I grew up. And he just contacted me and he goes, hey, Michael, I'm really inspired by your story. Would you mind coming talking to my graduation? You know, it's a small graduation, nothing super exciting. And so I said, sure, you know, I'd be honored to. So I went and did it, and I got off the stage and people were really focused on, you know, you really should look into doing this, and pushing me to pursue speaking and everything else. So I decided, well, I'll look into it. And then I got, once that I did that one, I got contacted by a couple of other people and a couple other people, and it just kind of grew from there. That I've been fortunate enough to, right now I think I've spoken to over 50,000 school kids across the United States. And every year I probably do 10 to 15 new schools around the United States in my travels.
When you first doing it, is it hard to kind of get into the story and like flashing back to the accident and everything, or was it just kind of a natural thing or a relief to talk to people about it?
There's definitely a therapeutic benefit to it for me, just as much as it is inspiration to others. It's funny, I've told this story, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times, and even still today, there's days where something in the story, the flashback in my memory flashes in my head, and I have that memory, and I tear up, and I swell up, and, you know, I definitely get emotional with it because it's telling my story over and over and over. But for the most part, I always say I'm a balloonist. I'm full of hot air, so I can talk a lot, it seems like.
Now tell us about your involvement with the Christopher Reeve Foundation.
Yeah, so back shortly after my accident, the Reeve Foundation, actually, it was a gentleman in Albuquerque that contacted me and said, hey, I saw that you're coming to Bolivia. And I said, yeah. And so he brought out the vice president of the Reeve Foundation at that time to to come out and just see me set up the balloon and see my whole process of doing the ballooning. And he goes instantly, at that time, he goes, we need to get you involved in the foundation. And so through him, I got the contacts, and which helped me also go out and talk about the Reed Foundation and talk about my story to, through their sponsorships and stuff. I was able to go to rehab centers and go into different avenues of the speaking.
Let me ask you, with hot air ballooning, is that something that's a career when you go out to these festivals, or is it just a hobby? Do you guys just do it for display, or is it racing?
It's definitely more of a hobby. It can be a career. There are people out there that fly the passenger rides, which will fly, big baskets and fly multiple people that are paid rides. And then there's also balloonists out there that are flying corporate logos, Remax, you name it. At some point in time, most corporations have gone through a corporate program where they're flying banners and stuff like that. I actually flew the banner for the Christopher Reeve Foundation for a while and done a couple other banner contracts. But for the most part, it is more of the fact, like me growing up in our family, my dad always joked around, we didn't have a boat, we didn't have an RV, we just happened to have a balloon.
Now, what are some of the current things you're working on now? What kind of, I know you're obviously still speaking and whatnot, but what kind of projects and things are you up to at this time?
One of the goals I have, I'm slowly working towards, is flying in all 50 states. I definitely really want to push that goal. The other one I have is I've been working towards purchasing a wheelchair accessible basket. The industry itself has started actually making wheelchair accessible baskets with doors on them that people can roll into their wheelchair and stay in it, because for a lot of people, their wheelchair is their pants or their shoes or however you want to say it,
right?
And it's part of their body and they feel more comfortable being in that than actually getting out into a chair of some sort or a bench of some sort to transfer into and fly. The one that I'm really trying to purchase is, it has a plexiglass window around it. So even though that you're lower in the basket, it still has a wide open area so you could see out and see the beautiful views of wherever the balloon's flying.
What has been the best view you ever seen while flying?
I've been very fortunate.
New Jersey.
Solberg is a beautiful place. But my favorite place to fly is actually Lake Powell, Arizona, up in the Red Rocks. There's a beautiful place we can fly dip into the canyon. And the balloon actually goes completely underground, and you're flying amongst the smooth red rocks, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I've been lucky enough to fly up in Canada, down in Mexico. I just enjoy flying, and it's the neat thing about balloons is it turns us all into that 10-year-old kid. No matter how old or how grumpy you are, balloons are so bright and colorful, they tend to just bring out that youth side of all of us.
Now, I'm sure you get this question quite a lot, but have you ever had an experience when you were in danger or something crazy that happened that unexpected?
Yeah, every flight is a new experience. Yep. Ballooning is one of the few things that you take off and you have no defined destination per se, because of the winds and stuff, like you're using the winds to go. So biggest things are people run into, or not run into, that's a bad way to say it, but the biggest thing that we worry about are obstacles like power lines,
right,
telephone poles, trees, or stuff like that. And then also the next thing is running out of fuel. There have been a couple times that I've pushed the fuel limit a little bit, and then also with the winds coming up, Mother Nature's speed and landing, it can get pretty scary and nerve-wracking, but through the experience and through your training, you try to work through all those things so you're prepared for those circumstances when they do happen.
Now let me ask you something. All these balloons, you have birds and pretty much everything you can imagine, and huh? What's the coolest balloon you've ever seen? I'm sure you've seen thousands, but like...
Well, the coolest one is the one I fly. That's the way I look at it. But I'm lucky enough to work. You hear me use the word lucky. That's the way I view my life, a lot of luck, because ever since my accident, I went out of a car at 55 miles per hour and I'm still here. So
right.
I probably overuse the word luck, but I've been fortunate enough to get involved in a company that we actually own three bumblebees, and so they fly together, and it's a mom bee, a baby, a dad bee, and a baby bee, and they're probably some of the most popular special shapes out there without an already built-in crowd. By that, I mean the Star Wars characters are probably the most popular special shape balloons out there. But they have obviously a built-in crowd. The bumblebees, the little bees themselves, actually had no crowd. But the cool thing about them is we fly them as close as possible, so we actually end up hugging and kissing and stuff like that in the sky. So it's pretty fun.
Now, me and Mike were thinking for a promotion for the podcast of getting both our faces as balloons. So what would that run us?
So a new balloon is about the price of a car.
Okay.
All I know is normally the people that do podcasts and radio, it's better to just keep it with podcasts and radio than promote their faces.
Ah,
dang it.
Darn.
This is why you're talking to me on through the podcast, too. No, this is not face-to-face. It's a lot better that way.
And with all the tour you talk about bringing like single people up, have you ever came across somebody who was like, turns out they found out they were extra scared of heights or something, and that you had to deal with them sitting next to you crying?
Absolutely,
or anything
yeah.
like that?
I've had people that almost hyperventilated in the basket and stuff like that. The biggest thing is, I mean, we can get the balloon down into an open area as quick as possible, but normally talking to them very calm, relaxing them, making them look out instead of down, it tends to help that situation a lot. Because most people's fear is the fear of heights, and if you look out, you don't tend to notice the altitude you're at versus looking straight down.
Yeah. So, oh, go ahead, Mike.
No, I was good.
Oh, so before we go, where can people go to, like, I know you have a documentary, you have a bunch of things. Yeah. Where can they go to check your stuff out?
If you look up pretty much the Rolling Pilot, just RollingPilot.com, or Facebook, Instagram, all those things. I have a Twitter account, but I really am not active on Twitter. I have enough social media that I try not. I focus on the Facebook and the Instagram more than anything else. But and definitely keep up with. It's fun because I share a lot of photos of the adventures and all the pretty places I get to fly and try to share my story. The documentary is pretty much wrapped up and should be out. We're hoping to have that actually out within the next month or so. So it should be interesting. See where the story goes. I mean, I'm lucky. The luck is I get to fly balloons and just do that. All this other stuff is just a benefit. And if I get to inspire one person out of my story, then I feel like I've led a successful life.
One last question for you. I've always heard, like, on the ski slopes, like, skiers and snowboarders don't get along. They don't like sharing their space. Is there anything like hang gliders or drones or anything like that that you just can't stand sharing the airways with?
Nah, for me, ballooning in general does have a little thing, not against drones, but the drones themselves, the pilots can get close to the balloons, and that those blades can actually damage the envelopes. So there's been a couple incidences where that happened at balloon festivals. I've actually had a drone pilot fly his drone inside my balloon while I was inflating. So wow. I don't really have anything against anybody. It's all aviation, and for me, is just a really neat experience. Actually, I take that back. The one thing are ostrich farmers. Ostriches get really scared from balloons.
Like I say, I wasn't going to pick that.
I was just going to say, if I could pick 100 things, that would not have even
come. Of all the birds in the world, you pick the one that stays on the ground.
They hate balloons. They despise balloons. So ostriches aren't my friend. That's basically it.
Mike, I want to thank you so much for giving your time. It's definitely inspirational and a very cool story. So keep up what you're doing, and thanks for the time.
Thank you, guys, and enjoy New Jersey and there in Georgia.
Absolutely. All right, Mike, we're back. Good guest. Definitely a good guest. So I think you should definitely do a Georgian hot air balloon ride.
Yeah, it sounds right. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to, like, steal my mom's hamper. And I'm going to... And I don't know how the whole balloon thing works. I know there's cloth and fire goes to it, so I'll just set a cloth on fire and see when it goes up, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Just please record it, please. Please record it before you.
Before and you I'll be promoting my new Georgia pizza on my balloon. So
balloon,
watch out!
It's the first ever balloon fired pizza. We cook every pizza with a balloon.
Yeah. We just throw it down to you. We don't even come down. I'll get you later.
We cook it on the burner and then bring it down to your house.
No, but, that's too much effort. I'll just throw it down there to them. No. They got to catch it.
Speaking of stupid people, I went to Acme today, the food store, just to pick up couple things for dinner. It was made an awesome dinner, by the way. Blackened shrimp tacos with like all the fixing. Awesome. But I go to the now. Alex and I have noticed that there's definitely some weirdos that work there, especially during the day. I don't know if they have some kind of work program or whatnot. But I get in line, and there's this girl. And I could tell right away, like, I was listening to the person in front of me, and she's just like, would you like to donate money to cancer research, blah, 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 blah. And, hold on. I'm calling your Google.
The Google subscriber you have called is not available.
Yeah, I can't hear you. All right, I'm calling you again.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that was my mom's fault. She called me on the phone.
Mom, I'm podcasting. Come on now.
Mom, I'm making oral magic. Not the first time I've told her that, but so I get
that's gonna be the spinoff podcast, Oral Magic.
Yeah. right away she's like, "You want to donate to Candor? Did you find everything you need to?" Like one of those people just asking tons of questions at the register. Like, oh god. So I get to the register, and she's like, you know, how are you today? I'm like, good. She's like, okay, I'll bag. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, whatever. You'll bag. So she starts ringing things up, asking me the same questions. Would you like to donate again? Blah, blah, blah. You know, a bunch of questions up front. Did you find everything you needed today? And like very like aloof, you know, like, I'm like, all right. And she starts sliding things down and I start bagging because like a bunch of stuff on the conveyor belt or whatever, and I start bagging. I'm like, and she looks at me. She's like, no. I said, I'll start bagging. I do the bagging. I'm like, I'm just getting a head start here. No problem. And the look on her face, she was like, and she started shoving my groceries like into the bags and like dropping them hard and like almost slamming them on. I'm like, what is going on? And then she's like, and so after she's done, she starts laughing to herself. She's just like, I'm like, oh man. So she's weirding me out. And she's like, do you want to play the Monopoly game? Like, it's like the, you know, you get these little coupons, and if you match the Monopoly pieces up, you get a whatever, okay. You win money or something or prizes. Suddenly, weirdo number two comes walking over, some guy, and I've seen him there before, and he's been weird. He's like, Monopoly? He's like, I'll play Monopoly, you know, like the real board game with you if you want. You want to come play Monopoly? I'm like, what is going on here? I expected Chief from One Flew Over Cuckoo's Nest to be mopping the floor. Like, they were just, I had to get out of there. A very bizarre experience at Acme. And then she's like, do you know how much you saved today? Like at the end, I'm like, oh my God. Like, just really, really bizarre.
I saved you $2.48. You better play Monopoly with me and this guy over here, too.
I don't know,
we're
man.
Gonna be-
I don't know what's going on at that Acme, but something strange is going on. Maybe they have some kind of work program for deranged people, but it makes I don't think I can go there anymore.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a weird story to start with for the fact that I didn't even know Acme still existed anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like our food store that's like right up the street. So it's like if we need something quick, we'll run and get it. But there's like better food stores up the road, like a little longer, further away. But definitely not. I'm going to film the person next time, I think. So, but
I think you should start bagging the second you talk to her, and then start yelling at her for not using paper instead of plastic, and see what happens.
No more wire hangers. But all right, bro, what do you got?
Well, it was tournament time,
yes.
I think now we should do tournament time now. Oh, you know what? Before we do that, little side note on Georgia, I forgot to bring up. I already met a cop now.
You met a cop?
Because I set off my parents' alarm here by trying to go into the pantry.
Okay. Well, now, you can't just throw that out without explanation. Why were you going into the pantry?
So, they got an alarm system here. I mean, with a... They got a full alarm system, and they show me how to turn it on. It's just pretty much they say, you know, don't go outside any doors with this on, because if you do, you know, big alarm's going to go off, and they're going to call, and the cops are going to come. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And like I said, around Thursday, they took off. And on Saturday, I'm going downstairs, not going outside. I'm just trying to wake up. I slept late that day, and I was just tired. I wanted to get some coffee. So the pantry is like a little closet door, whatever you want to call it. And I grab the knob and I pull it, and all of a sudden, I'm like, what the hell? And I turn off the alarm, and they tried to call me. For some reason, after one ring, they hung up. And I tried to call the alarm company back. I couldn't get a hold of them. And then, like, 5 minutes later, my brother's like, hey, did you set off the alarm? I'm like, yeah, but I turned it off. He's like, oh, I wasn't sure if you were home or not, so I just told him to send the cops over just to make sure.
I hope this ends with you in the back of a car with, like, red eyes pouring with tears from Mace.
No, I played it cool. I mean, I was kind of intrigued. I was checking out his camera. I mean, I guess they, instead of, I always thought the body camera was the one they hang off their chest that they, you see, and all the, it's actually off of his, like, ear. So I was, like, entranced looking at his camera. So I'm sure there's some video of me just, like, staring, smiling into his camera.
Looking awkwardly just to the right of the guy's face.
Tonight on Cops. Hey, yes, officer, I'm here on vacation.
I don't know where my shoes are. I misplaced them. Now, did you have that same fear that we talked about just like a week or two ago? The irrational fear, just because the cop's there, all of a sudden you're like, oh boy, he's not going to believe me.
I mean, the one weird thing, like, in my head, it's like, all right, I'm here down visiting the parents, but then my thought was, well, wait a minute, my parents are in Florida right now, so that's going to get a little awkward.
You should have just went. You should have just went full retard. Like, my mom said that I shouldn't turn the alarm system off if I'm hungry to go to the pantry to get more snacks.
I burnt myself on the oven, so I hit the alarmy thingy to get people here.
My mom said if I hit the alarm,
is this not moving?
My mom said if I hit the alarm, the friendly pizza man or police officer might bring me a snack.
I'm Mama's special Georgia pizza boy.
All right, so he just came and that was it.
He looked at the license. He's like, who owns the house? Gave the information. That went fine. I mean, it was kind of weird how they ended. I mean, he asked, all right, who owns it? They confirmed it. And he's like, all right, Jersey license, by the way. And then he walked away. So I'm kind of like, should I expect you back now? What?
So let's get to the tournament time. Let's preface this, I guess, before we go into this and why we changed it up a little bit. And it's all your fault, listeners.
Yep, all of you.
So last week,
you
won't hear it, guys, because I put up a test run. We were gonna rank our guests, not rank our guests, but put I made a bag. It's actually still by my feet. A bag full of all our guests. They picked out random matches, 64 teams or guests, and we were gonna put votes up. And sure enough, we put a couple up, and we got one vote. One.
Yep.
So our loyal audience. We are not going to do the March Madness Bowl. Maybe we'll keep it as an idea for next year and try to figure out something else. But at this point, I'm not going to make 60 something graphics on Instagram and whatnot and for zero votes. So we're changing it up a little bit. And Verlo, that's where you come in.
Yeah. So what we're going to do here is Scott has all the matchups here, and we're going to. I guess I got 62 questions for the whole tournament. So what's going to happen is Scott's going to give me a matchup and a number between 1 and 62, and I'm going to read him the random question. So in other words, something there, if we just voted on our favorite guest, let's say a matchup like Lenny Dykstra versus Biff Hutchinson, the ex-Pogo athlete. Naturally, Scott would answer Lenny Dykstra. But if the random question is who is more likely to own a BMX bike, Scott might just have to advance Biff on that situation.
Right. So it's kind of a random tournament. Now, I'm giving you the matchups here, right?
Yep. You're going to give me the matchups, and we'll get a number between 1 and 62, and I'm going to pick the question, and then you're going to tell me who advances.
We might have a problem.
What's that?
I'm not sure I have the matchups here. They might be in my computer bag, but hold on. Let me check 1 second.
All right. Hey, Juan, check to see if you have the Hangout on mute, because I'm getting an echo on this side.
Well,
hold on.
This is still recording. Scott is looking through the garbage right now to look at our brackets.
Thank you. Well, shit, I was recording the whole time. I got good news and bad news.
All right.
Well, I have two of the brackets. I think I brought the one to work because I was making a graphic there.
All right.
But I do have the bag.
Yeah, you want to just redraw?
Yes. So I'll just pick two names, and those will be the matchups right there.
Sounds good.
All right. So it's going to be a lot of drawing here. All right, Berlo, here we go. In the first, you've given me a few tournaments over the years here. We've had the Who Would I Want? Wasn't one of them Who I Want to Be My Dad?
Yeah. I think you picked Derek Jeter, if I recall. Well, yeah, I think Derek Jeter.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I still stand by that. You gave me a tournament where I had to pick if I wanted someone back alive.
Mm-hmm. We had a couple of those.
Yeah, I'm not sure who. I don't remember. I think Tom Petty was one.
Tom Petty and John Glenn came back to life.
Oh, yeah. Not Michael Glenn. Michael Glenn is still alive and on the podcast today. But all right, Michael Berlo. Mm-hmm. First matchup here is Kenny Anderson versus Jim Miller in the UFC. Kenny
All
Anderson
right.
versus Jim Miller, UFC fighter. Kenny Anderson, NBA basketball player.
All right. So give me a number between 1 and 62.
2.
Number 2? All right. Of Kenny Anderson or Jim Miller, who's most likely to have a Disney tattoo?
Definitely Jim Miller.
Jim Miller advances.
Jim Miller has quite the sense of humor. And I could see him. I could see him fighting with that and making it like part of his shtick. So Jim Miller, onto the 32.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got Captain Wild Bill versus Trevor Bayne. Captain Wild Bill from Deadliest Catch, and Trevor Bayne from NASCAR.
All right, give me a number.
37.
37. And the question is, who is most likely into running?
I'm going to say Trevor Bayne. We rode water slides with the guy. He seemed pretty athletic. He was in good shape. Pretty good-looking young man, if I don't say so myself. But, he looks more of the runner than Captain Bill, who, sits at the helm of a ship all day long.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Next, we got Tom Verney from CNN, former retired NYPD officer, also very open about his homosexuality, and does a great job on CNN all the time. Versus Irony Singleton from The Walking Dead, T Dog.
Mm. All right. What number we got?
36.
36. Who is least likely to dress up for a Halloween party?
Wow, this is tough because, Tom Verney, has a lot of, flamboyant friends, I assume. But Irony Singleton, he's part of The Walking Dead. So I'm assuming once you're part of that kind of show, you're expected to dress up. You're expected to kind of like Halloween. So I'm going to go in an upset pick. I'm going to go with Irony Singleton. Irony seems like a fun guy. Seems like he might be into the theatrics of things, considering he has a one-man show. So I'm going, Tom Verney seems a little bit more buttoned up, a little bit more, on the ball.
Well, the question is least likely.
Least likely. Then I'm going, I'm switching it to Tom Verney. Tom Verney
there
advances. All right. We got No Shame, transgender battle rapper, versus Al Snow. The WWF, WWE, ECW superstar.
And your number, sir?
We're going to go with 6.
6. Your question is, who is most likely to be afraid of snakes?
I don't know. I'm going to go Al Snow is probably most likely to be afraid of snakes. He's, you know, he came up with that whole gimmick on being, talking to a head and whatnot. So I'm assuming he's got some fears and things going on. So unfortunately, I think Al Snow just got eliminated. No Shame moves on.
See that?
Yep.
It's not the most straightforward matchup. Now, are you writing these down so we know what the next round is?
No, I thought you were writing them down. You got the pen. All right.
I'm sorry. So it's Jim Miller, Vance.
Jim Miller, Captain Wild versus Bill.
Trevor Bayne.
So Jim Miller, Trevor Bayne.
Tom Bernie.
No Shame. And Tom Bernie have advanced.
All right.
Next matchup is Dan Gutman, children's author. Very, very popular children's author, versus Ajay Naidu from Office Space.
Oh, this is an interesting matchup. What's your number, my friend?
40.
40. Okay, I'll cross that out. And of these two, who is least likely to have a police record?
Dan Gutman seems like a very good, wholesome kind of writer, dad kind of guy. Ajay's been in the acting world. He's got a little edge to him. So I think Dan Gutman advances on this one.
All right. I got him down.
All right. Next, we got Eddie Brill. Okay. Eddie Brill, the booker for comedians for the David Letterman show. For years and years and years, and a comedian that did one of the Verbal Shenanigans comedy shows, which was kind of very cool, versus Captain Bayonne. Captain Bayonne, just pretty much a weirdo that runs around Bayonne thinking he is rescuing Bayonne, doing good deeds. Your arch nemesis. We're going to go with 21.
21. Of the two... There we go. Who surfed for the most porn?
Oh, Captain Bayonne, all day. Why do you think? Why do you think he wears a mask?
Look at that, Captain Bayonne goes to the next round.
A lot of upsets in the first round.
Yeah.
Al Snow gone. Irony Singleton gone. Bunch of. But let's keep it moving. We got Dave Andrechuk, NHL Hall of Famer. By the way, guys, all these people have been on the show. So this is like us tooting our own horn a little bit. Versus G-Love from Philadelphia.
Wow.
Famous music.
This would be a tough one straight up, I would think, for you.
This is a big matchup. Dave Andrechuk played for the Devils. You know, G-Love I was really into when I was young. So tough matchup here. All right.
And your number?
61.
61. All right. Of the two, who is most likely to take a bath instead of a shower?
G-Love's going to... He seems like a bath kind of guy. Like, he just writes songs in the bathtub and, you know... That's I'd imagine that's where a lot of his work comes from. So G-Love advances... Yeah.
It'd be kind of weird if Dave Andrechuk got in the shower and he's like, "Nah, boys, get the tub in here. get that ice out. I gotta relax. You want that cup?"
All right, we got Bishop Brian Ouellette, okay, an exorcist that we had on for the Halloween episode this year, and Russell Davis, bartender mixologist from Bar Rescue.
All right, what do we got?
23.
Of those two, who is least likely to have bumper stickers on their car?
Least likely. I feel like Bishop Brian might have bumper stickers. Like, have you seen a ghost lately? Call Bishop Brian. You know, like. I don't know. Russell Davis seemed like a pretty, country boy kind of. I think Russell Davis is least likely to have bumper stickers.
All right.
All right.
Awesome.
Here we go. So, Burl, just to keep this moving a little fast, just pick a number for me beforehand in your head and just ask me the question. So,
sounds good.
All right. We got Mo Vaughn, baseball legend, famous Red Sox, versus Travis Stever, guitarist from Coheed and Cambria.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with number 8. And of those two, who is more likely to be a nail biter?
Mo Vaughn is a big man. nail biter. But Travis Stever plays guitar. You don't want real long fingernails when you're playing guitar, usually. So what's the question? Least likely or most likely?
It is most likely.
Travis Stever might keep his nails in perfect shape to do those ripping Coheed solos. So I think Travis Stever just beat Mo Vaughn.
All right.
All right. Next we got Snow, not Al Snow. Snow, the guy who did Informer, a Canadian reggae artist, versus Richard Binning, the penis puppeteer. Were they on the same episode?
Yeah. Look at that.
All right.
All right. I am going to go with number 55. And number 55 is, which of those two is most likely to still watch cartoons?
100% Richard Binning, the penis puppet. I feel like he's got to get some inspiration. Like, here's Garfield. You know, here. yeah, which is a really terrible image. A guy sitting in his living room trying to make cartoon characters out of his privates.
I would guess he would have to grow it out to make it look like a Garfield, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. But we have Rab himself from Jackass a couple weeks ago. Go back a few episodes, guys. That was a really good one. Verse Adrian Hayes. Adrian Hayes is a world explorer, went from the North Pole to the South Pole a couple times, did K2. He was at, I believe, our 100th episode, right?
I believe so, yeah.
All right.
All right, I'm going to go with number 19. Which of the two is more likely to be a flat earth believer?
It's got to be Rab himself. A lot of drugs. hanging around guy Ben Marge, he's been hitting the head a lot. Adrian Hayes has literally traveled the earth and been into high places where he can see the bend of the earth, so I would hope he is he's not a flat earth believer.
You could say he's traveled the earth. He's like, I don't walk in a circle, just walk in a straight line.
It'd be funny. It is flat, actually. There's a big edge drop off. I don't go near there. All right, we got Don Jameson from That Metal Show, also was on a Verbal Shenanigans podcast and comedy show. First, Catra Corbett, ultra runner. I believe she just did the Moab, or she did one of those 200-mile races recently.
Woo! God bless her. All right, I'm going with number 51. Which of the two is more likely to be a morning person?
I mean, Catra Corbett has got to take down Don Jameson. A morning person, like, just to run that many miles, I feel like you have to get up in the morning. Don Jameson's a comedian, so a lot of his life is at night. So, Don Jameson, sorry, buddy, taken out by Catra. All right, we got Christian Picciolini, reformed skinhead, has a couple books out and whatnot. I've been on a bunch of shows lately. Versus Aisha Ashe, an African-American ballerina that does a lot of programs for inner cities and whatnot. So what do we got here, Berlin?
I went with number 44. Who is more likely an NRA member?
Christian Picciolini, for sure. Probably has people that want to shoot him for some of his past digressances. And Aisha Ashe doesn't seem... She seems like the very sweet type. I don't see her owning a weapon. So, Christian Picciolini. All right. Next, we got Arnold Mint, Food Network. Also has some interesting... He also cross-dresses and whatnot. Versus Josh Eppard, the drummer from Coheed and Cambria.
All right, number 62. Who is least likely to do yoga?
I feel like a, you know, a drummer in a touring band might do yoga to stay flexible. You know, it's a lot of tax on your body. Arnold Mint might be into yoga. You know, reading a lot of Josh's tweets, I know he's into running and exercising and whatnot. So I think Arnold Mint is, no, least likely.
Least likely.
So Arnold Mint is going to move on. I think he would be the least likely to do yoga. So, God, upsets everywhere. This is like all the Virginias are going down by the
UMCB, baby.
Yep. We got Abigail Harrison, Abby the astronaut, head of, one of the spokespeople for the Mars Generation, versus Jonathan Lee Iverson, the first African-American ringmaster for Barnum & Bailey.
Number 13, who is most likely to have worked at McDonald's?
One more time, you broke up there.
Which of the two is most likely to have worked at McDonald's?
You know, I'm going to go with least likely to work at most likely.
Most likely.
I'm going to go with Jonathan Lee Iverson. Only reason here, I don't think either of them worked at McDonald's, but I'm going to go with the Jonathan Lee Iverson is much older than Abigail Harrison. Meaning that he's probably had more job experience, and that just, you know, if you're playing an odds game, there's, he's had more jobs. So I'm going to go with Jonathan Iverson. So next we got from Blackalicious, Gift of Gab, versus Lilo Brancato from Bronx Tale.
All right, question number 50. Who is least likely to sign autographs on the street?
Lilo Brancato. I met him, and he was a little off. No offense, Lilo, but you know, he's been through some legal troubles. Gift of Gab seemed like a very genuine dude, and was very happy. So I'm going to go with Lilo Brancato. All right, next we got Bob Rathbun, the Atlanta Hawks play-by-play guy. Versus Maurice Ashley, the first ever grandmaster of chess who is African-American.
All right, we're going to go with number 5. And the question is, which of the two is most likely to be a Trump supporter?
I'm going to profile pretty hard here, but Maurice Ashley seems like he might be least likely to be a Trump supporter. And this is only based on skin color.
All right, so it's most likely, so...
Oh, it's most likely Trump supporter, then Bob Rathbun moves on.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Well, he's down in Georgia, so who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, yeah, I mean, you maybe get to meet him.
All right,
here we go. The big dog, Lenny Dykstra, in the house. Still one of the funniest, most outrageous stories and interviews on this podcast, so please go check that one out. You don't really if you don't like me and Mike, it's a good one for you to listen to, because I think we said like 8 words on that show. So
probably
Lenny Dykstra versus Terry Tate himself, Lester Spate.
Oh man! All right, number 33, and the question is: which of the two is least likely to watch Star Wars movies?
I feel like Lester Spade is an actor, so maybe he's trying to get a role in a Star Wars movie. Lenny Dykstra lives his own personal Star Wars. I imagine he sees Yoda on a frequent basis. So I don't think he watches Star Wars at all. In fact, Lenny Dykstra, I'm not sure he owns a TV. Lenny Dykstra advances.
Awesome.
Next we have Zoltan Istvan, transhumanist, ran for governor of California, versus Christian Okoye, the Nigerian nightmare himself from the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, question number 41. Who wears the least amount of makeup?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go Christian Okoye. You know, just by makeup alone, when you're a politician and you're in front of cameras and have to speak, you got a little foundation on trying to look good in the cameras. I'm going Christian Okoye wears the least amount of makeup.
All right.
All right. Next we got Chris Ballew from the Presidents of the United States of America, the band, also Casper Baby Pants, versus Paul Zaloom, Beekman from Beekman's World.
All right, number 32. Who was more likely to have had a mullet?
I could see both these dudes having serious mullets at some point in their life, but I feel like Paul Zaloom almost has a mullety kind of thing going on. Like maybe he's more long on top now and short in the back with Beekman. Mm-hmm. Ballew's bald at this point, so least likely would be Chris Ballew.
All right, so Paul Zaloom would advance then.
Paul Zaloom on his way. Mm. Chris Ballew out of the tournament, Berlo. I know that one hurts for you. That was probably in your brackets. That would be one of your picks, you know.
Probably he would have went further. I didn't have him go all the way. But.
Next, we got Zane Lamprey. Zane Lamprey from Chug and Three Sheets and Drinking Made Easy. And I think he's got another show coming out soon. I think I just read. Versus Matt Pinfield. From
Matt Pinfield.
60 Minutes of Matt Pinfield.
120 minutes. 60 minutes?
Yeah, whatever.
That's the show on CBS.
That's when they do the reruns, and it's only an hour.
Oh, okay. All right, number 39. Which of the two had more surgeries?
Now, Zane drinks a lot due to his job. Matt drinks a lot due to his his addictions. I think Matt Pinfield probably has had more surgeries.
All right.
Possibly. I know he's had some problems, so, you know, maybe Matt Pinfield. All right. Next, we got John Schneider, Berlew.
Oh, he got into the bag. Okay.
By the way, our John Schneider episode got a lot of positive reviews, a lot of excitement around it. We got some comments on our Podbean, which I don't know if we've ever gotten, which is pretty interesting.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. And he's going to take on Aaron Iz, a tattoo artist from, Ink Master. He also came on when we helped him promote his fundraiser during the Orlando shootings. So, friend of the show, Aaron Iz.
All right, number 15. Which of the two is most likely to been to an opera?
Aaron is a quirky kind of guy, artsy kind of guy, but John Schneider is a musician and has, I feel like he's had money along his way, and opera is, and he's from New York, even though he does a lot in the South. So I'm going to go John Schneider has probably been to an opera.
Awesome.
Bo Duke advances. Yeehaw.
Mm.
All right, next we got Scott Dickers. Scott Dickers, one of the creators of The Onion, versus Marcelo Balboa, U.S. soccer great, Colorado Rapids announcer, very well-known soccer player.
I'm going to go number 24. Which of the two more likely have owned a van?
I'm going to go with the struggling artist approach here. Living out of your van, writing, making newspaper. Marcelo's probably been involved with the team his whole life. Maybe, has done okay. So I'm actually going to go with Scott Dickers here. I think may have owned a van. Okay. I know. Marcelo, one of my favorites of all time. And we got to meet him.
Yeah, really nice guy.
Yep. Next we got... Oof, maybe one of the number one seeds, Victor Wooten. Wooten, legendary bassist, Bella Fleck and the Flecktones, or also possibly the best living bassist alive. Versus Earl Hebner, the greatest referee alive.
Number 52, which one of them is most likely can juggle?
Victor Wooten. He's
skilled hands.
Yeah, skilled hands, talented. Yeah, you know, traveled around with bands and stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if it was part of their act back in the day. Next we got Steven Seagulls. Steven Seagulls. Our friends from Finland. They get in as a band because we interviewed the whole band. So they're going to take on another one of my sweethearts, the love of my life, Sharon Alexander.
Wow, that's a tough matchup.
She's the heaviest sportswoman in the world, the sumo wrestler.
I'm going to go with number 60. More likely to be able to slam a basketball.
Sharon Alexander. I feel like those little Finnish dudes can't even come close. Sharon Alexander is a very tall lady, so she could probably slam a basketball pretty aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next we got Stephen LeBoux. Stephen LeBoux, Red Bull cliff diver. He's going to be taking on Randy Santel, competitive eater, good friend of ours, and we got pretty hammered with him one night.
Number 11, which of the two have read the most romance novels?
I don't know. Randy seems like a big sweetheart every time I talk to him.
I could see Santel. I'm going to be honest on that.
I think I'm going to go with Randy. I don't know Steven enough to know his personal personal book choice. I'm going to go with Randy Santel.
All right. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. 6 more before we get to the round of 32.
Okay. Riley Breckenridge from Thrice, the drummer of Thrice. Versus Trent Dilfer, Super Bowl winning quarterback.
All right, I'm going to go with number 43. And which of the two is a bigger wrestling fan?
I feel like a lot of football players are wrestling fans. Like, it's kind of part of the whole locker room kind of thing. Yeah. Riley is really into baseball, though. But I'm going to go with Trent Dilfer. I think he might be a wrestling fan.
Dilfer.
By the way, Trent, if you're listening, thanks for not retweeting our episode, by the way. Maybe he forgot because it was like the night before his knee surgery. So maybe he forgot all about us. We're easy to forget. All right, Clean Rock 1 from Ink Master. He actually gave a tattoo to a person while on our show. Versus Ian Petrella, the kid from Christmas Story. Not Ralphie, the brother.
Yep. Number 54, who is more likely to drink tea over coffee?
Tea over coffee. I don't know. Ian Petrella seems a little artsy. Clean Rock Run seems like a dude's dude. Coffee, beer, whiskey. I'm going to go with Ian Petrella. Ian Petrella. He's a puppeteer. I don't know. All right. Big matchup here. Mark Summers, Double Dare. That Mark Summers, Unwrapped, versus Devin Harris from the Jamaican bobsled team. We had him on twice.
All right. I'm going to go with number 1. Which of the two is most likely to be able to solve a Rubik's Cube?
Mark Summers. He seems like a guy that would sit with a Rubik's Cube for a couple of hours. as long as it was clean. All right. Next, we got Chef Brian Duffy from Bar Rescue versus Tooth Grinder. Another band. We interviewed the whole band. Tooth Grinder, a progressive metal band, doing a lot of big things, so.
Number 57, who enjoys board games more?
I feel like Tooth Grinder, you're on the road a lot. You got to do something with each other. Tooth Grinder.
Tooth Grinder, okay. I got 2 more to finish off the first round.
All right, Augie Carton, owner of Carton Brewing here in New Jersey, versus Robbie Wrist, Cousin Oliver, and Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles.
All right, I'm going to go with number 16. Which of the two is least likely to floss every night?
Oof. Least like Augie Carton seems a little, you know, fancy. Robbie Rist seems like a down to earth. He's a musician kind of guy. Not sure he's that concerned with his floss. So I think Augie Carton flosses every night. So Robbie Rist.
All right, let's do one more, and then I'll give you the matchups for the next round.
All right, we got John Morris, Olympic curler, which, by the way, I'll make that announcement at the end of the show. I just got to remember it. Just remind me that. First, Kirby Chambliss, one of my all-time favorite guests. Red Bull Air Race pilot, by the way. Bull Air Race pilot.
Number 28, which of the two gets most excited about Lobster Fest?
I don't even know what to say to this. Kirby Chambliss. He seems like he'd take his wife to Lobster Fest. Maybe fly her down there. We'll go get some lobsters. Kirby Chambliss.
Get some of them cheddar biscuits, you know?
Yeah. Fly back home real quick, and they're on their way. So that was the first round?
That was the first round.
Oof. All right.
Yeah, since I had the matchups, I'll try to speed up. I'll just go in order of ones we haven't done and just go through them. So your first matchup in the next round is Jim Miller versus Trevor Bayne.
Oof.
Who is least likely to have bad breath?
I feel like when you're a fighter, you know, you're sweating all day, you're up in people's faces, and
your mouth's always messed up from getting punched in.
Your mouth's open. You got teeth knocked around. Trevor Bayne, he's in a car. He even has a mask on protecting his mouth, you know, like from things flying up in it. I'm going to go Trevor Bayne, less likely to have bad breath. Sorry, Jim.
All right. Tom Verney versus No Shame, most likely to spend a week in Utah.
I can't imagine the battle rap scene is very big in Utah.
I could sworn actually No Shame said that.
It's big in Utah?
I thought she brought up that that's where a scene was and all.
Oh.
I don't know. It literally just randomly was the question that came up.
Well, I feel like Tom Verney has messages to spread all throughout, and I feel like that guy's going to do big things with his message. So I'm going to go with Tom Verney would be most likely.
Okay. Dan Gutman versus Captain Bayonne. The question is least likely to have points on their license.
Dan Gutman. Captain Bayonne probably runs around Bayonne because he has no license.
All right. G Love versus Russell Davis, most likely to have a Spice Girl CD.
G Love, baby. G Love probably gets inspiration. He might have even wrote on some of those songs. Who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah. Okay. Travis Dever versus Richard Binning, most likely to be in pottery.
One's good at molding things with his hands, and the other one's an artist.
They're both an artist, Scott. Come on now.
I'm going to go with Travis here because here's the reason. This is actually some deep thinking here. I know he lives near Woodstock, New York, and there's a lot of pottery shops and things like that and like artist things. So I'm going to go with Travis Stever.
Interesting. Okay, Rab himself versus Ketra Corbett. Question is, who prefers almond milk to regular milk?
Ketra Corbett. She seems like the granola kind of hippie kind of chick, you know, rainbow hair. Rab himself seems, you know, now he seems fine, but I bet you he ate a lot of normal milk back in the day.
Okay, Christian Picciolini versus Arnold Mint. The question is, who is more likely to still own a VHS machine?
Like a VCR?
Yep, VCR.
I like VHS machine.
Yeah.
Christian Picciolini because he might use a lot of his old clips of like him being a skinhead recorded on VHS. Arnold Mint seems kind of neat and new, and he ain't dealing with that. Sorry, Arnold.
All right. Jonathan Lee Iverson versus Lilo Brancato. Question is, who's more likely to still have a Blockbuster card?
Lilo Brancato. Like I said, he's a little out of it. He might still have that floating around in his wallet.
All right. Bob Rathbun versus Lenny Dykstra. Who is more likely to have done the Dougie dance?
Who is more likely?
Yeah.
That's not even a question. He's doing it right now on the streets of L.A., scoring smack, doing the Dougie. Teach me how to Dougie, give me a little bit of crack. Teach me how to Dougie, give me a little bit of crack.
Okay, Lenny advances. Christian Okoye versus Paul Zaloom. Question is, most likely to have done a 2 a.m. White Castle run?
Paul Zaloom, 100%. That guy seems like he still does it now openly. Okoye, have you seen Christian Okoye's body?
I know.
That is not something White Castle enters too often.
Matt Pinfield versus John Schneider. Who is more likely to spoil movies for other people?
Power matchup here. John Schneider, I feel like he's a movie guy, makes movies, pretty enthusiastic about what he's done, so I feel like he would spoil movies pretty often. Be like, oh my God, did you see that Matt Pinfield? You know, he seems more into the music, not as much the movies, so I'm going to go with John Schneider would spoil them.
All right, Scott Dickers versus Victor Wooten. The question is, who is least likely... Oh, no, I did that one. Okay, who is more likely to have chewed tobacco?
Scott Dickers versus Victor Wooten? Scott Dickers spent a lot of time in writing rooms, probably long deadlines, had to, you know, when I used to chew and stuff like that, it used to keep me up. That's when I studied with it. So I'm going to go with Scott Dickers probably chewed.
Well, look at Scott Dickers moving up on the list. Sharon Alexander versus Randy Santel. The question is, who is more likely to have experimented in college?
I mean, Randy Santel seems like a man of experimenting with his body, with his eating habits. Sharon's just a proper, gorgeous woman. So I think Randy Santel probably experimented more in college.
Okay.
And he's still in college. He's still going to school. So
there you go. He still has opportunities. Mm-hmm. Trent Dilfer versus Ian Petrella. Who the question is, who is more likely to hate flying more?
What? Who is it? Petrella versus?
Trent Dilfer versus Ian Petrella.
Hate flying more. I feel like as an NFL athlete, you better be able to fly because that's what you do every day. So I feel just... But by odds, Ian Petrella has to be afraid to fly.
Okay. Next one, Mark Summers versus Tooth Grinder. Who is least likely to watch the Super Bowl?
I feel like the Tooth Grinder guys would probably get around the Super Bowl and probably be into it. They were fun dudes. Mark Summers, I feel like he doesn't need to be bothered with such petty sports.
Okay, final one for this round. Robbie Riss versus Kirby Chambliss. Which one of them is more likely to have done the polar bear plunge?
I feel like Kirby Chambliss has lived a good experimental life. Kirby Chambliss.
Okay.
A lot of upsets, man. A lot of the big dogs are gone.
Yep.
The Virginias, North Carolinas, gone.
So we're into the next round. It's Trevor Bayne versus Tom Verini.
Vernie, sorry.
The question is, more likely to have been to a nude beach?
I feel like Tom Verini might have rocked some nude beaches in his day. Trevor, I know he's like a pretty religious Southern guy. I don't know if he was into the nude beaches, so I'm going to go Tom Verini.
Okay. Dan Gutman versus G-Love, more likely to know magic tricks?
Dan Gottman, man, is author. He kind of seems like he knows some things. G-Love just seems like a chill musician. I don't know if he knows too many magic tricks, though.
Okay. Travis Stever versus Katra Corbett. More likely to ask you to help them to move.
Like move physically or move their house?
Move their house.
So it was Travis Stever versus Katra. I feel like Travis has a more demanding schedule, like touring, where he's not at his house that much. So logically, he might need to move more, and he would need help. So Travis Stever is my answer.
Okay. Next, we have Christian Picciolini versus Lilo Brancato. Who is most likely to wear a cowboy hat?
Less likely, right? So it's Picciolini versus Brancato, right?
That's correct.
Less likely. I feel like Christian Picciolini is taking himself very seriously these days. Lilo seems like, I mean, I met him at a comedy show, so I feel like he might wear a cowboy hat.
All right. Lilo advances. Our next one is Lenny Dykstra versus Paul Saloom. Least likely to enjoy eggnog.
This is tough. I could see Paul Saloom being the kind of guy that sits with a nice glass of eggnog at night and enjoys it. But I feel like
it's August. What the hell?
But I feel like Lenny might be a type of guy to chug pitchers of eggnog like on a dare, like it's no problem. You know, and here's my other thinking. Here's what also came to me. This is pretty interesting. Paul Zaloom's like a very kind of hippie, very progressive kind of guy. Maybe he's not into dairy. You know, like a lot of those guys are vegans and not into products. So I think Paul Zaloom would not enjoy eggnog as much as Lenny Dykstra.
Oh, Lenny goes down, man. All right, John Schneider versus Scott Dickers. Who is more likely to be a horrible tipper?
John Schneider versus, who was it?
Scott Dickers from The Onion.
Who would be a horrible tipper?
Yeah, who's more likely to be the horrible tipper?
God.
Some real questions here.
Yeah, I don't even know how to answer this one. John Schneider, you know, maybe he's ingrained in the South where I just imagine, you know, you people don't tip. You're just animals down there.
That's true. That is true.
John Schneider. Scott Dicker's a New Yorker. We tip well.
Okay, we got Randy Santel versus Ian Petrella. And it is, who curses the most?
Randy Santel.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to say a lot of curses when he can't get food down or, you know, he throws up. You know, there's a lot of cursing going on.
All right, we got Mark Summers versus Kirby Chambliss. Who's most likely to be gluten-free?
Mark Summers, 100%.
I know. The second I said it, I'm like, I know this.
Yeah. Kirby seems like a rough and tumble, like, you know, man's man. Mark's like more of like, you know, aristocrat.
All right. We got the Elite Eight right now.
Oh, guys. Here we go. All right.
We're almost there. All right. Tom Verney versus G-Love. The question is, who is most likely to have lost 50 pounds in their life?
Tom Verney. G-Love probably just, you know, he seems like a very casual dude.
I apologize. Technically, it's Tom Verney versus Dan Gutman.
Oh, all right. That changes things. So who is least likely to lose 50 pounds?
Who is most likely to have lost 50 pounds in their life?
Tom Verney.
Tom Verney Stiggy's in there.
Tom Verney has also dealt with some sickness, so you know, he might lose weight. But Tom Verney is very concerned. He's also he's been in the NYPD, meaning he might have lost some pounds when he went to go to camp and whatnot and train. So,
all right, Travis Stever versus Lilo Brancato. Stever, yeah. Who is most likely to own a motorcycle?
Lilo Brancato.
Wow.
Yep. 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 I feel like that guy would own a motorcycle, no problem.
Now we got Paul Zaloom versus John Schneider. The question is, who would have the most exciting biography to read?
Wow. I got to go John Schneider here. Just for the length of the career and the multiple different things that guy does between singing and acting and still, you know, reinventing himself as an actor and, you know, John Schneider.
Okay. Randy Santel versus Mark Summers. Who got the most drunk on St. Patrick's Day?
Judging from personal experience, after watching a Conor McGregor fight, Randy Santel.
Okay.
Goodbye, so Mark.
Our final four is Tom Verney versus Lilo Brancato.
Wow.
And John Schneider versus Randy Santel.
Wow, okay. So some favorites of the show, but also some big names in there too.
Yeah. So for Tom Verney versus Lilo Brancato, the question is, who would eat more at a buffet?
Oh, Randy almost got an easy...
Yeah, I know.
An easy way to the finals. So Tom Verney versus Lilo Brancato. I feel like Lilo Brancato would probably just do whatever. Like, Verney's like pretty, you know, with it and thinks like clearly and knows what he's doing. The other guy seemed a little bit unhinged. So Lilo Brancato might do whatever he wants at a buffet. I'm sorry, Tom.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Tom.
He went a far away, man. He went a far away.
Yep.
Now for John Schneider versus Randy Santel, who is more likely to buy fireworks?
Yeehaw! considering when we called him the other day, he was on his quad, and he was like, this interview will be a little lower when I get off my quad. It sounds like John Schneider still lives that kind of Bo Duke life a little bit. I'm going Bo Duke here, man. Randy doesn't seem like the firework kind of guy. So
need those fingers.
I'm sorry, Randy. I'm sorry. I know you've been on the show a few times, but you're out.
All right. For our final, Lilo Brancato versus John Schneider. And I kept this last question by itself on its own to be the final question because this should be the pure truth of who should be our champion. Scott Brennan, between the two, who was most likely to actually listen to our show?
Who is less likely?
Who is most likely to have actually listened to our show?
Okay. This is not because he was recently on the show. Okay. For me to like try to get you to listen. But here's my reasoning. You know, Mike, I always try to reason these things out when we do these little tournaments. Lilo Brancato, I'm not sure he remembers being on the show.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. No.
John Schneider really seemed to enjoy his time on the show. I think he would be first to check out that he was on the show. So I'm going, Berlo, you got to be happy. Your boy, John
Bo
Schneider.
Bo Duke.
Champion
of the Verbal Shenanigans March Madness Random Question Tournament.
The Verbal Shenanigans hour and a half long bit.
Well, you can cut it up. You can put like one half on this show and
oh, there's no way.
One half
it's
on
all
another.
It's all going on this episode, guys. If you're tuned in, you want to know who wins. John Schneider, only two episodes ago, becomes the Verbal Shenanigans champion. And what's nice
already
is
already champion
with that Berlo. We can do that. We can do that again next year because it could be completely different winners, you know, like, you know, depending on the questions. And maybe what we'll do is I'll give the questions to you next year.
Ooh,
so it'll change completely up. But Berlo, it's been a fun night. Anything to promote? Let's get out of here.
I will promote Tecmo Madison. The big tournament's coming up April 6th and 7th. The great guys who come on the show
and sent
turnout.
Me a Sean Kemp shirt, which I wore on stage the other day, the Sean Kemp and Gary Payton shirt on
I know it's
yep
and I got my NBA Jam shirt with DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Really appreciate that. To get more info on the tournament and how to check them out, go to tecmomadison.com.
alright guys, and I have a very interesting announcement before we get out of here. On Thursday, this Thursday coming up, I have been invited, Mike Berlo, to go curling. Yes.
I miss that.
I'm not going with John Morris.
Okay.
So Dean Gemmel, who is a comedian, who got us a show, very involved in curling his whole life, has a curling podcast. Messaged me, I got some guys coming who've never tried curling before. Would you be interested in attempting curling? I said 100%. So I'm going to take some video and some pictures and whatnot, and I'm going to go curling. So I just wanted to promote Dean Gemmel and his curling podcast. So go make sure you go check that out, the curling show. So I am excited. We'll put that on all our social media and whatnot. And the Verbal Shenanigans comedy show coming up on the 29th. There are some tickets left or seats left. It's actually free to go. It's the 29th. Kenny Garcia is headlining with Joe Conti, Sharon Simon, and Rob Apple, and myself. So it should be an absolutely great show, and it always is. So, Berlo, until next week, man. You keep being the king of Georgia down there. You tell your disciples that, you know, to listen to the podcast or else. But but life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
The break of dawn, till one by one they were gone. Back at base, bugs in the software flash the message, something's out there. Floating in the summer sky, 99 red balloons go by.